Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. If you would, let's stand together, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, that's Elijah in the Hebrew, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the times of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for the songs that were sung. Thank you for the offering that was given. And Lord, now as we look into your holy word, may it be of encouragement and a blessing this day. And may angels sing at the end of our service. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue reading from the book of Luke, chapter 4, and again, verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. J. Kessler writes, "Preaching a sermon that is strong on information but weak in application is like shouting to a drowning man, 'Swim, swim!' The message is true, but it's not helpful." And we have in the bulletin, Charles G. Finney, "How to Preach So as to Convert Nobody. Preach about sin, but never mention any of the sins of the congregation." We would like to preach a sermon to you today that would glorify the Lord and maybe even make you feel uncomfortable. Verse 31 tells us he came down to Capernaum. It is always sad when the Lord leaves, but especially when he is forced out. Notice up in verse 29 that they thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. So he came to Capernaum. Definitely Nazareth's loss and Capernaum's gain. And he taught them on the Sabbath day. So he was there for more than one Saturday, but for multiple. We find in verse 32, the people in the synagogue were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at the power with which he preached. The rejection of Nazareth did not deter him nor dampen his resolve. May I say this, that sometimes the hardest thing to do as a pastor is to get back up when sometimes we're, shall we say, disappointed. I think it's interesting that they sang the song, "All Thy Anxiety." I was just at my heart doctor, I don't like going to see my dentist, but I don't like going to see my heart doctor. And my blood pressure was taken, and he looked at it, and he goes, you know, the bottom number is fine. He says, it's that upper number. He says, you're full of anxiety. And he looked at me, and he says, we're going to maybe have to change some things in your life. And I thought to myself, why am I anxious? And sometimes I think, well, maybe it's because when I preach, sometimes I'm disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed when you have told somebody something and they didn't listen? Sometimes, you know, it's that way. But when Jesus spoke, he spoke with power. And the rejection of the people at Nazareth, though, did not stop him from going on with his ministry. Verses 33 and 34, we find that there was in the synagogue a man. Now, that's not uncommon. We have men and women today in our service today. Well, I'm glad. I wish we had more men. Let me say that over again. Maybe some of you missed that. I wish we had more men. We need more men. May I say one of the problems in America today is we have the our men are too effeminate. We've got too many men in our world today that have given the authority to their wives. God has put men in charge. Contrary to what today's world may teach, God, in his grace and mercy and knowledge, has an order. One of the problems is we have too many men who have shirked their responsibilities. You know how I know this? I can knock on doors and men will run and hide. Well, why is it, men, that we will run and hide? May I say this? When the Jehovah Witness comes down the street, don't run and hide. Be ready to talk to him. When the Mormons come, don't run and hide. Be ready to talk to them. Tell them what you believe. Let them know there are people out there that don't believe what they believe about Jesus Christ. We need men who are willing to make a stand. But here we find there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What are we to have to do with you? This one with an unclean spirit was in the synagogue. Now, I believe this, that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot be indwelt by an evil spirit. But you definitely can be influenced. You definitely can be, shall we say, directed and tempted to do what is wrong. And may I say this, that some of you have brought in unwanted guests today because of your lifestyle. This should not frighten us, because we that are saved have one that can defeat the devil and his angels. But it should bother us that maybe someone has brought in with them an unwanted guest. And typical of any that is unclean or wrong in action or attitude, they say, let us alone. Those who are not living a right and proper life never want to be confronted. Don't you dare tell us what to do or how we should act. Why are you picking on me? Well, you just don't understand. Anytime they begin with, well, you just don't, just be sure you know that their lie is following. See how the demon asks, why art thou come to destroy us? The guilty always want to make the innocent feel like they are at fault and that they are doing something wrong. Now, let me say that again. The guilty always want to make the innocent feel at fault. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we were at we weren't at Tiger Stadium. Tiger Stadium is no more. We were at Comerica Park. And our Detroit Tigers won 7-4. We invited Atlanta to come up. We've smashed them 10-0. We beat them 7-4. Let's hope we sweep them out of town today. I had to use the facilities. I'll move along. I walked in, and you know, in a men's room, there are the stalls and there are the urinals. Hopefully that doesn't shock any of you. And as I'm walking past the stall, I'm looking, and there is painted toenails under one of the stalls. And I'm thinking, that doesn't seem right. And I did look around to make sure, Paul, I was in the right one. And suddenly one of the men says, whoa, there are women in here. Now, I've been in men's rooms where a man brought in his daughter, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years old. I understand this, but when two women of about 22 came out of the stall, I thought to myself, number one, it tells you the age that we're in. And when two or three of the men challenged them, they said, well, you got a problem with this? Well, what were they saying? They were saying, you're wrong to think we shouldn't be in here. But isn't that just like the world today? Yeah. You're wrong to tell us that we are wrong. Just keep your mouth shut. If you saw the line at the women's restroom, you'd understand why we're in here. Now, that's what they were saying. But the question is, why did this demon say, leave us alone? I'm going to tell you, because people who are doing wrong never want to be confronted. They never want to be confronted. The liberal mindset is to blame when the conservative tells them that they're wrong. The liberal mindset is to tell the conservative, you're wrong, you're intolerant, you're uncaring, you're closed-minded. May I say this, the liberal mindset has led us to legalize abortion. The liberal mindset has led us to homosexual marriages and the desire to make them legal. The liberal mindset has told us that evolution is not a bad theory, but it is doable. Indeed, it's a fact. See, that's what the liberal mindset has said. The liberal mindset says there is no such thing as immorality. And this is where we're at today. Unfortunately, the liberal mindset has the media behind it. It's got our college professors behind it. And unfortunately, it has a lot of churches behind it. See, the demon knew who Jesus was. He was the Holy One of God. James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Do we tremble because there is an almighty God that cares about you and me? Notice verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him. Rebuke means to reprimand, to scold, to reprove. It means to show disapproval. It means to condemn. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Do you know why churches that are fundamental, Bible-believing, are many times struggling to get people to come in? Because people don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be exhorted. To exhort means to advise strongly, to admonish, to caution, to warn. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning complete or mature, throughly furnished unto all good works. The demon said, let us alone. And Jesus rebuked him. People don't like to hear, oftentimes, what is preached. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. To our teenagers, obedience is the very best way. parents, may I say this, disobedience is disobedience. Don't say, well, it's a phase or it's a teen thing. Disobedient and solemn children are never happy or well adjusted. Allowing them to, what shall I say, to drown in the disobedience doesn't make for happy children. Parents, they may not thank you now or ever, but do right by your children and teach them to be right and respectable citizens, friends, mates, and to follow the Lord Jehovah all the days of their life. Teach them to be respectable. Teach your daughters not to go in the men's room. Dads, we are to admonish our children to follow the Lord. We are to be living examples of faithfulness. We are to teach them Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We are to teach them that our God is an awesome God who created heaven and earth. Thou shalt not kill. Murder in the city of Detroit and throughout our country runs rampant. Abortion. But what about your thought life? How many times have you heard someone say, even within your quiet mind, I'd like to kill you, as you're driving down the road and they pulled in front of you? I wish I had a tank. I'd show you to drive and fight that. Have you ever someone that where they said if looks could kill? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Immorality is immorality is immorality. There is only one place for sexual relations, and that is in the marriage of one man and one woman. Now don't blame me if you don't like the message. I'm just repeating the message, folks. Thou shalt not steal. What part of that statement don't we understand? Thou shalt not steal. In the different newspapers that come our way in the Sterling Heights area, I always like to read the criminal reports of, and I think to myself of people and what they have stolen. I don't understand stealing someone's catalytic converter. Money, I read about the man, or heard about the man that got down in the sewer area in Detroit, obviously to steal some things, and got caught up in there and drowned. I think, well, why don't they get a job? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Give me a three-letter word for false witness. Lie. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. It's one of the problems with a lot of our models today. They have this proud look on them. I tell you what, I like models that smile. I don't buy clothes where the guy looks like he's, never mind, I've got to move on. Smile. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and the seventh one, which is an abomination, he that soweth discord among brethren. Thou shalt not lie. God hates the lying heart. The devil is the father of all liars. Thou shalt not covet. Selfishness. Covet means to desire, to lust after, to envy. Eve coveted the knowledge that the serpent said God was holding from her. Cain coveted his own way. Balaam and Delilah coveted money, Korah coveted power. Samson coveted sexual satisfaction. Achan and Gehazi coveted material things. I want it now, and it doesn't matter the consequences. Why do we think we live in a country where the average debt is over $10,000 to credit cards? And oh, by the way, I think our country is wrong in being in debt to whatever trillion dollars it is now. I think that is ungodly. Selfishness. It's the number one problem in marriages, in families, in friendships, in churches, in the workplace, in society, in our nation, and in our world. Selfishness. Selfishness cripples us spiritually, financially, emotionally, and mentally. Selfishness breeds pride, arrogance, bitterness, jealousy, and hatred. These commandments mentioned thus far are the last six of the Ten Commandments. They are man's relationship to man. But I exhort you to keep to the best of your ability the first four commandments of man and his relationship to God. We are to know that there is no other God but one God, the ultimate judge of the universe. We are not to worship any created object or being, be it an angel, a person, a planet, the sun, the moon, the stars, rivers, trees, mountains, work, money, material items, a sports personality, a movie star, a musician, a politician, a preacher, a maid, or children. We're not to worship them. You are not to take the Lord's name in vain. You're not to cuss or to swear. And last but not least, you're to remember the Lord's day. But because man is unable to keep these commandments given by our Lord to Moses, we are all accounted as sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." Now, I don't care if you say amen to that or not, but the fact is it's true. We are all sinners. The Bible again says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's separation from the Lord for all eternity, with no hope of redemption, in utter darkness, alone with our thoughts and our personal demons, ever burning but never consumed in the fires of hell. But God, don't you love those two words? But God, divinely just, but he's also lovingly merciful, has provided a way of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way that salvation could be obtained, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way into heaven but through him. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then what should be the most scariest verse in the Bible to the unbeliever? John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The decision is yours. We can obey the Ten Commandments, though many pick and choose. We can decide to try to follow Jesus, or we can try to go another way. The decision is ours. But are you willing to live with that decision for all eternity? Shall we stand together? Now, I wish I could preach with the power and the conviction of Jesus Christ. But we do ask that the Holy Spirit move today with the words that have been said. And as we have an invitation, we ask that the Spirit will move, convicting hearts, convicting you. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this time of invitation. We ask, Lord, now that souls could be saved and hearts made right. And Lord, we ask that you would take control, that you would direct. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.